to everyone. Thank you so much for coming back this evening as we've come together to worship. This is the fifth Sunday night of the month, and so we usually have our congregational meeting at the end of our service. So we're going to have a shorter sermon, hopefully. We'll see how it goes. But then we'll do what we normally do. We'll have the announcements at the end as we normally. But we won't conclude with a closing prayer. After the announcements, we'll go right into the congregational meeting. And those of you who are visiting are welcome to stay. You're welcome to leave if you would like. But the congregational meeting normally lasts around 20, 30, 35 minutes or so. So that is our plan for this evening. It's good to be with you. I want to, just for a few moments here, talk about lovers of the Bible. And we're not talking about romance here. We're really talking about some things that we should love, and we find that there are those who are lovers of these things. But you know, the Bible also talks about some things we're not to love, and talks about the lovers of things that we should not. We're not going to get into that this evening. We'll have time. But it's a good study as you think about the various expressions in the Scriptures that talk about lovers of certain things or certain ones. I want to talk about the ones that we ought to be loving. And the first one here is, of course, the Bible talks about lovers of God. And we are to love God. You remember in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is asked the question, which is the great commandment in the law. And Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." And that was true under the law of Moses, which is what he's talking about here. But it's also true under the new covenant as well, that the first and great commandment is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, with our whole being. Loving Him. You know, the Bible also mentions that there were those who did not love God. They were not lovers of God. In 2 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 1, says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." This is describing a very terrible condition that men are in here. But it's because they are not lovers of God. What are they? They're lovers of themselves. These are the other lovers that we talked about we were not to be. They were lovers of themselves, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure. And that's the way many, probably, and no doubt the majority of the world are, and they're not lovers of God. But you can't be these other things and be lovers of God. If you're lovers of God, you're not going to be lovers of yourself in the sense of making yourself the priority in life. Lovers of money and lovers of pleasure. You love God, that means you desire to please Him. You make Him the priority of your life and doing His will, bringing glory unto Him. 1 John 5 and verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, what? That we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Have you found the commandments of God being burdensome? "Oh, I've got to do this. Oh, this is so hard, but I guess I better do it." And it may be along the way we're grumbling about it. That's not really the love of God. Maybe it's a desire not to go to hell motivation. And that is a motivation, but if that's all the motive that we have, then that's what we're going to do. We're going to grumble about doing the will of God. But if we're lovers of God, we're going to want to do His commandments, because that's what pleases Him. That's what brings glory into Him. And it's a command, so it's something that we can develop. It's something we can choose to do. We have to work at it. If I don't have that kind of love for God, I need to work toward truly having a desire to please Him more than anything else. The Bible also talks about lovers of good. One of the qualifications of elders that Paul, in writing to Titus, mentions, Titus 1, let's begin with verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. As we've mentioned before, most of the qualifications, the majority of the qualifications of elders are qualifications that all Christians are to possess. And this is one of them. And that is, we're to be lovers of good. The elder must be a lover of what is good. Some have thought that this, and I think it does include this, lovers of good men. To be lovers of good is to be lovers of good men. Those who stand for truth, they love God, they're doing what is right, they're good men. We love them, don't we? We have a great deal of appreciation for them. We want to be around them. We love them. And that's, I think, part of that. But I think it also involves being lovers of what is good, lovers of good things as well. And we talked about that this morning, about what we need to meditate upon. You remember in Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely. We're talking about good things here. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The lover of good is the one who's going to meditate, think about these things throughout the day. But how do we know what is good? Well, we know what is good by reading Scripture. You remember in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, he talked about how that you ought to be teachers, but you need to be taught again, reprimanding them, because they had not grown as they ought. He then says in verses 13 and 14, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, notice, to discern both good and evil. How do we know what's good as opposed to evil? By reading Scripture, becoming skilled, experienced in the word of righteousness. And as I exercise the senses, as I then read that word and I think about it, I meditate upon it, I think about how does that apply to my life, how does that apply to our living, and what does God want me to do, what is He telling me to do here, I then determine what is good and then what is evil. And the one who is a lover of good is the one who wants to learn that which is good from God's Word. He then adheres to that good. He holds to it and puts it into practice within his life. We need to be lovers of good. And then there's the lover of strangers. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, the American Standard Version translates it this way, forget not to show love unto strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. What is he talking about here? Well, other translations, the New American Standard Version translates it, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. He's talking about hospitality here, the love of strangers. The Greek term here literally means love, phileo, of a word which means strangers. But it was a word that was used to mean showing love for guests, for those maybe that were traveling, that needed lodging, that needed a place to stay. And brethren, in this day and time, they didn't have motels as much as we do here. And so there was a need to stay in the homes of members. And so it was important that they would then open up their homes to brethren who would be traveling. And so he says, don't forget to show love to strangers. Maybe some that they never met before. They needed lodging, and so they were willing to open their homes to provide for that lodging. The same word is found in Romans 12 and verse 13. Beginning with verse 12, he says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. That's the same word that's found in Hebrews 13 and verse 2. Given hospitality. And the Lord commands us to do that. 1 Peter 4 and verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. It's a similar word, similar Greek word that's found here. A little different, but it still means the love of strangers. You know, in the qualifications of a widow, indeed, one who is to be enrolled in the number that's taken care of by the church, Paul says, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers. Now, that Greek word there begins with the word strangers and then ends as a compound word, strangers received. And then it ends with a word that means to be received. And so the idea is receiving strangers, lodging strangers, and that's how it's translated here. But it's the same idea that's found in these other passages, is that we are providing lodging for those who are in need of lodging. Not just a place to stay, but also food, whatever necessities of life that they need at that time. This is something we need to be involved. We need to be a lover of that. We need to love hospitality. And then also there's the lovers of brethren. We're commanded to love the brethren. Hebrews 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. The Greek word there is Philadelphia, the love of brethren. And that word is also found in Romans 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. There are other passages that use this word Philadelphia, talking about a responsibility that we have. It's one of the qualities we're to add to our faith in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Add to your faith virtue to virtue knowledge. It ends with brotherly kindness. That's Philadelphia. The love of brethren that must be added to our faith. And if we love God, we're going to do this. Because the love of God, if we're lovers of God, we're going to love the brethren. You remember what John says in 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So it is a command. Someone says, well, it's hard. There may be certain ones where it's more difficult because of they just get on our nerves. Maybe they've done things to hurt us. But it's a command. It's something I have to develop. It's not to say that I accept everything they do as being right and good. Maybe the love that I have for them means that I go to him to bring him to repentance. Talk about the error of his way. That's what love will do. But we are to love, and we must develop that love if we do not have that love in our hearts. And that love involves action. In 1 John 3, beginning of verse 16, by this we know love because he laid down his life for us. Now, we become acquainted with love when we see what God did, what Jesus did. What did he do? He laid down his life for us. That's what it means to love. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's not enough just to say I love you. I think that's important. And we ought to say that to one another. But it's not enough. We need to show it in our deeds, in the things that we do, even to the point we're willing to give our lives. We sang about that. Blessed be the tithe. And the love that we have for one another, the common faith that we have, the common things that we have, the common enemy that we have. And we're there to help one another. And we show love for one another when we are there to help one another through this life. Love of brethren. And then there are the lovers of truth. You know, God's word is truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So the love, the truth, is to love the Word of God. The love, what? The commandments of God. The statutes of God. We talked about earlier, you know, commands of God sometimes seem to be so burdened, they're hard, but they're not if we love God. If we love God, we're going to love His commandments. And they won't be that burdensome to us because we're doing what pleases the one that we love. The psalmist, you remember, said in Psalm 119, 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. He loved it so much. He meditated upon it all the day. Verse 127, therefore I love your commandments more than gold. Yes, than fine gold. Here's a person who knows that gold would give him a lot of possessions in this life. And he could enjoy those things. And there's some people who love money. That's what they desire, because they want possessions. But here's one who loves the commandments of God more. He loves the commandments of God. He loves the truth. And of course, loving it will do it. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. We'll put it into practice within our lives. These are lovers of the Bible. There are some who don't love the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning with verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why are they perishing? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's characteristic of those who are perishing. We need to love the truth. And if we love God, we're going to love His Word. Well, we're talking about lovers of the Bible. These are ones who love God. They love what is good. They're lovers of strangers. They show hospitality. They're lovers of their brethren. They act, show it in the things that they do toward their brethren. They're lovers of the truth, lovers of the Word of God. They put it into practice within their lives. Are those the kind of lovers we are? Maybe in another lesson we'll sometimes talk about the lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, lovers of ourselves. These are things we ought not to be. There may be some here this evening who need to respond to the invitation of our Lord. If so, please come as we stand and sing.